الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
حي على
الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام وعلى محمد وعلى عليه وصحبه وسلم. Dear beloved Muslims, highly praised and glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayers and the peace be on Muhammad the Prophet, his companions, the righteous servants all. Ameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is our prophet, Allah's messenger and servant to mankind. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day of Ramadan, day of Jummah in Ramadan, for blessing us to come together to hear the khutbah, offer salat, and we pray that everybody is in the best of health. We start out by saying that we bear witness that this is the Shahada, when declaration of faith. We say that we bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is our prophet, Allah's messenger and servant. Sometimes people say that it's our messenger, but he's not our messenger. We didn't give Prophet Muhammad a message to deliver to anyone. The message is delivered to us. And sometimes we make these create confusion where the people end up worshiping Prophet Muhammad. So we don't want to make that mistake. He's our prophet. He's a messenger and servant of Allah. He prophesies to the people. That's the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, to prophesy his message to the people. So, you know, like we said, in the time that we live in now, make it plain, make it clear. Because if we don't make it clear, then people have misunderstandings. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In a portion of our prayer, very important, in the first, after the first two rakats, we say the tashahud. And then the last rakah, in a four rakah, four-unit prayer, we say it over again, right? And it's the tashahud. The tashahud. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. All services rendered by words and bodily actions and sacrifice of wealth is due to Allah. And we say that. We say it over and over. Sometimes we learn in Arabic, and down the road we forget about the English. Remember, we English thinking people, English speaking, English thinking. So we can't just, you know, speak all the time in Arabic without making it clear in English, because who's going to understand? You know, sometimes we pride ourselves with so much Arabic, how we learn so much Arabic, we forget the people that we're addressing. Now, if it's a Arabic speaking audience, alhamdulillah. But if it's an English-speaking audience, especially African-American, and then even in some cases, we have to break the words down even further than that. So this is why it takes us a little longer to give ta'leems or khutbahs or whatever the case might be, because we're trying to make it plain. We don't just want to come up and give a sermon just to give a sermon. You know, we want to make it clear. All services. This is what the tashahud is saying. All services rendered by words and bodily action and sacrifice of wealth is due to Allah. We don't do it for any other reason. That's what it's the words that we say peace be to Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. The actions, our body actions, everything that we do in our prayer, the standing, the bowing, the prostrations, not only in that, you know, that's the ritual part, but the actions that we perform in our everyday life, like moving obstacles from the road to protect somebody, or garbage cans blowing down the street, picking it up, putting it back, all fi sabil Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. And then the sacrifice of our wealth is due to Allah. Matter of fact, Allah gave us the wealth, number one, and then he requires us to give a portion of that back to somebody in need. That's a responsibility. Where did it come from? It came for any individual who submit their will to do God's will. It came from there. It's a responsibility, an obligation upon Muslims to fulfill that responsibility. The topic that we're speaking on today is no compulsion. There's no compulsion in religion. Free will. We have free will to accept or reject. No compulsion in religion. Free will to accept or reject. Now, if you don't want to become a Muslim, that's your business. Who am I to say that you forced to become Muslim? And then we have some people with a sickness in their mind to force people, try to make people. I recall a young man, his mother was a Christian all of her life, and he went to the hospital. She was on a deathbed, and he got his mother to whisper to him, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then he says she's Muslim. She's going to be saved from the hellfire. She can be saved from the hellfire if she's a Christian. If she did all of these things that we're talking about here, all words, bodily actions, sacrifice of wealth, if she did it as a Christian, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge of what we do in this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite nasty, is the best knower. You know, there's a surah in the Holy Quran that's very important. It's Surah 2, Ayat 255. And if you have a Quran later on, just look it up and read it. It's called Ayatul Kutsi, right? And there's a footnote to that in footnote 296 in Yusuf Ali. And it mentions that a perfect life is perfect activity. The perfect life is perfect activity. Because sometimes we get so involved in rituals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to call us back to the life. Prophet Muhammad, he made an ascension, and he went seven steps into heaven, what they call the not heaven in the sky like some of us think, but the highest excellence that a human being could reach, seven, in the presence of God. That's a spiritual journey that he was on. And then when he reached that spiritual height, now he had to come back down seven steps, and what he learned in that experience, he had to teach it on earth. Activities, the actions. So he said a perfect life is perfect activities. Alhamdulillah. Prayer is life in service of Allah. Prayer is preparation for life. These rituals that we're performing, preparation for life, right? Preparation to go out in the world and remake the world. Change the spirit of the world. Change the policies of the world. And sometimes when we look at the situation that we're in today with the coronavirus, you know, Allah permits things. You know, did he cause it? We don't know, but I know he permits it, right? And what does he permit it for? For hard trials are necessary to establish truth. Allah puts Prophet Muhammad, he put all the prophets through difficulties. And at the end of those difficulties, they became stronger in their determination to establish Islam, or the natural way that God established for mankind on earth. And Allah knows best. So this Ayat al-Qudsi, the verse of the throne, is called. And it's popular amongst Muslims who study Quran. And we should read it and refresh ourselves. It's a long ayat, but this verse of the throne is the seat of authority. It's the verse of the throne, an authority which extends over the heavens and the earth, outside of our reality. You know, we say, when we mention heaven, people say heaven, and we think that God is up in heaven in the clouds or whatever the case might be. It's talking about the sky. The word, the Arabic word for heaven is sky, right? And what does it mean? The whole universe, right? People don't sit on clouds, right? People don't float through the air. He's focusing our attention to the universe. And if we understand the universe, there's no end to it. So that means if there's no end to it, there's no end to you, your intellect, because your intellect is floating in the universe, discovering all of these realities. And Allah is telling us that he's above all of that, right? He's above everything that you can see. Now, if there's no end to the universe, then quite naturally, there's no end to the creator of the universe. Alhamdulillah. Now, we're not here to get all emotionally charged up, right? You know, this is not the church. We're trying to charge up the intellect, right, for us to think. A good Muslim is a good thinker, because if you're going to live a good life, then you have to have some thinking. You got to think about things, right? And you have to, I remember in the old Nation of Islam, it says, use your mathematical theology in its proper term. Now, who in the world ever heard that coming? That's a wise statement that somebody put in there. I don't know if it was Ambalaj, Muhammad, Fraud, Muhammad, or where it came from. Use your mathematical theology. Scientific. He's talking about science. And the individual who thinks, he thinks from the seed to the complete construction of the tree, that's knowledge. Because Allah tells us that, and man grows like a plant. So however we see the plant growing, it's got to be rooted quite naturally. It has to have a body. It has to have bark. It has branches. It has fruits. It has all of these beautiful things. And at the end of the fruit is what? A seed, where the process starts all over again. That's wisdom. And Allah wants us to see these things for the value that they have for the benefit of mankind. Ayatul Kursi, Surah 2, Ayat 255. Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, supporter of all. Slumber nor sleep seize Him. All things in the heavens and earth belong to Allah. Who is there that can intercede in His presence except as He permits? He knows what appears to His creatures before, after, and behind them. Nor can they compass anything of His knowledge except as He wills. His throne do extend over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them, for He is the Most High, Supreme in glory. In other words, Allah is the complete authority over everything natural in existence. Alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quite nasty is the best knower. There is no compulsion in religion. We call it deen. Deen means deen al-fitra, or the natural way of life. Fitra means nature. It, the very nature of your religion is in you. It's a natural possession or natural property that every human being has. And as long as we hold on to that natural property, then we are in our deen. We are in our religion. And then Satan comes along and he distorts the natural way of life and he takes us out of our deen. And that's the reason for prophets. Prophets come to put you back in your deen. Imam Wati Muhammad, he's not a prophet. He's a teacher. He's a messenger. He come with a message, the same message that Prophet Muhammad had. And what did he say? How did he what language did he use? He said, remake the world, right? And how is the world going to be remade? When our mind is remade. The world is going to be made when our mind is remade. Remake the world. So if you're not a thinking, natural human being, then we say have this same old complicated world, same old complicated concepts and ideas, etc. And it's when we come back to that, now we are where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants each and every one of us. There is no compulsion. Allah doesn't make or compel anyone. He gives us free will. Matter of fact, free will. When you give somebody free will, we don't give our children free will, right? Until they grow up, right? He gives us free will. He said, now, if you can free, you can go out there and do anything you want, right? You can accomplish anything you want. You can reject your freedom of your will, right? You can do the good, you could do the bad, or whatever the case might be. Allah don't interfere. You could accept Allah, or you can accept the devil. That's completely up to you. So don't blame Allah. Don't blame Allah for nothing. We're running around on this earth as creatures, brother, with free will. Just literally destroying our own selves. And then there's a few of us that understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing us to, and then we give our will to Allah. And what is a Muslim? One who submits his will, the freedom of the will that Allah gave me, I'm submitting that and I'm giving my will to Allah. That's Muslim, right? You say, that's, what do you have to do to become a Muslim? Do we have to pour oil on your head or baptize you in water? No. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, right? Submit my will, the will of the freedom of my will to do Allah's will. Alhamdulillah. Now what am I? If you're sincere, I'm Muslim. Alhamdulillah. Deen al-Fitra, the natural way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala originally created us. Compulsion, the state of being compelled to force somebody, to compel somebody, to force somebody to do something. And that's not the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam is freedom of will. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Surah 2, ayat 256, it said, let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. Let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. Alhamdulillah. This is Allah. Surah 2, he gives us the verse of the throne. Surah 2, 256, he clarifies and says there's no compulsion. Matter of fact, you don't have to, this don't have to be accepted. If you desire to accept it, alhamdulillah. If not, that's completely up to you. Compulsion is not in harmony with religion. Religion depends on faith and will and would be meaningless if forced to apply. If you are compelled to religion means submission, right? You have to submit, right? Once you submit, it tells us, now I have faith. Now, what does faith mean? Do you see God? Do you know all of these things that's in the Quran? No, you don't know it. You're in it based on what? Faith. I have faith. Faith means I don't know. I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the right direction. And Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. Fard. There's a word called fard. Fard means obligation. You say this is the fard prayer. What we're doing now is fard, right? It's fard. So we say, okay, you're obligated to be here, right? Okay, is that a contradiction? No, because everybody in here submitted their will. We submitted our will. You know, I can't go out in the street and pick somebody up and say, you obligated to come to this fard Juma prayer. No. You're not obligated to come to anything. The ones who submit their will obligates themselves. Actually, it says in the Quran, your own self obligates you. You're obligated, right? By your own self. Your moral convictions obligate you. That's why we're here. We go through cold weather to get to Juma. We go through rain to go to Juma. We go to all kinds of things trying to get to Juma, right? In the Middle East and different places, you see people who have been in religion for thousands of years, they spaced. they didn't give up the Salat. They 6 feet apart, right? His prayer rub his head, he's 6 feet, right? And they stand to give the khutbah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah. Why? They feel the obligation to do that. Alhamdulillah. We're here in our house. We spaced. We're on Zoom, right? Where we're in my daughter's house and in my granddaughter's house, right? This khutbah is being delivered, right? We're spaced in here. We're not close together by one another, right? And we're given a khutbah. Why? Because it's an obligation. We take it as an obligation, right? So we say, well, some people say, well, this is contradictory. You know, you have to do these things. Yeah, no, we have to do it out of our own free will. No obligation. No obligation means that we are morally responsible for what we do. Fard means binding by will and faith, submission, your own self obligates you. Now, if you don't want to do it, that is completely up to you. So what have you done when you don't want to do it? You have taken yourself out of the deen, right? Even if we're not strong enough to do all of the things that we are required to do, we don't reject them. You say, well, do you make five prayers a day? No, I don't make, but I don't reject five prayers a day. You say, are you a man who reject marriage? No, I don't reject marriage. I just don't want to get married, right? You know, you don't have, you're not forced to get married. I just don't want to get married. I want to live by myself, but I appreciate the institution of marriage, right? You right in the ballpark. Alhamdulillah. As long as we give ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't work contradictory to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. All fard acts are not obligations. For the people of faith, those who submit their will to Allah's will, fard becomes an obligation, a duty, a pleasure. This is Muslim life. We don't understand it too well because we don't live Muslim life. We live the freedom for whatever we want to do. You know, you can come, wake up in the morning, say, I'm going to smoke me a joint. Then later on, I'm going to go to the bar and drink me some whiskey. And then I'm going to go downtown to the red light district and pick up a prostitute. And then I'm going to come home and do whatever I want. Then I'll go to sleep and wake up and repeat that same thing all over again. What is that? Freedom of the will. But how does that apply to the will of a Muslim who submitted his will to do God's will? He's not satisfied in his soul. His soul is not at peace. His soul is not at rest. He's doing bad things, but he know in his soul that he is wrong. And he know, brother, that there's a consequence that you have to pay once you submit your will to do the will of Allah. You know, there's an example. Allah gives us signs. He gives us signs in religion. He gives us signs in his creation. And he gives us signs amongst us. You know, and I was thinking on Michael Jackson. You know, I think he did, somebody said he became a Muslim. Well, whether he became a Muslim or not, it wasn't important. But in my opinion, Michael Jackson was an individual who evolved and manifested in the human soul, Michael Jackson. And I studied him, believe me. I told my wife, I said, when he passed away, I went online and I listened to every one of his songs, right? Allah put people here for that reason. You say, okay, well, he colored his skin. So what? We're talking about the soul. We're not talking about that. Some people say that Michael Jackson was a child pervert. There's information that came later that even the boy that said that he did these things to him rejected it, right? Michael Jackson. He was a tender soul, right? And then you just look at Michael Jackson and you can see that this individual had complete faith and trust in Allah. Even the tone of his voice. He said he came from black to white. I'm not talking about his skin. I'm talking about the spiritual elevation, right? And how do you see that, right? If we blinded, brother, if we have negativities in our mind, you'll never be able to see it because we're looking for a holy man that came out of the East. We're not looking for people amongst our own selves to see the reality of Allah. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he created everything as a sign. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. From the physical to the spiritual, the growth and development. An example, a sign in his physical life. And then going back to Surah 2, Ayat 55, Ayatul Kutsi, it says, who is there that can intercede in his presence except as Allah permits? He knows what appears to his creatures as before and or as behind. Alhamdulillah. And one of the songs that he had written or was involved in was We Are the World, right? This is heavy stuff, brother. See, we don't listen, brother. We look, but we don't listen. He said, We Are the World. And it's a spiritual song based on faith and the power of Allah. We are the world. We are the children, right? We are the world. We are the children of God. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving, right? Alhamdulillah. Michael Jackson, brother, was, believe me, he in his own way, he was giving more wisdom to the wide awake individual than some of these preachers and rabbis and imams, right? If we fully understand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, regardless of how we think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he blesses with understanding whomever he sees fit. He said he didn't race out anything. And for an individual who have a pure heart, who's striving to have a pure heart, he sees purity in many different ways. You don't have to put on a big kufi or a big hat or wrap some sheets around your head and put on these long shirts and everything for people to be by. He might be a raggedy man with a patch in the back of his pants and everything. He can spew more wisdom than all of them put together. You know, I remember years ago I was reading, there's a movie. Actually, I have the movie. He was an English guy. He was kind of in the head. He was a little messed up in the head, but he was a gardener. And he worked for these rich people. And the rich man was also a politician. So he took his gardener with him to a political meeting. And they were talking politics. The garden guy, he didn't know nothing about politics. But they were trying to get somebody to run for office, right? So they were coming together to see who the best candidate would be. So somebody saw the gardener over there. They thought he was a part of the political framework, so they went over and they asked him, what do you think about this? So he didn't even know what they were talking. The only thing he knew was gardening. So he said, this is what he said, if you put the seed in the ground in the proper season, it will bear fruit. And they said, whoa, deep. This is what they said, whoa, man. So they were like rattled by that wisdom, right? And you know what? They selected him to run for president just from that comment that he made. And what was the comment? Based on nature, and man grows like a what? Plant. They had wisdom. They were able to see that. And he was spewing not from his own knowledge. He was spewing something from God's creation. Alhamdulillah. So this shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make anyone he want to be a messenger to bring the message to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He says, in concluding here with Michael, he says, there is a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. There is a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. Somebody said, well, brother, ma'am, you shouldn't be singing. This is Jummah, right? I wasn't singing. I was citing. Right? In a rhythmic tone. Matter of fact, the Quran is written in slow rhythmic tones. Right? What are we saying? We're trying to bring our people's consciousness to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in Quran for the betterment of humanity. The choice is our will. He said, there is a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. And what is that choice? It is our will to surrender our will for the will of Allah. And what does it make us? It makes a Christian a Muslim. It makes a Jew a Muslim. It makes a Buddhist a Muslim. It makes a Hindu a Muslim. It makes a Muslim, right? Because one who submit their will to do God's will, you can call it anything you want, but actually what it is, it means Muslim. Alhamdulillah, free will. And Allah, quite naturally, is the best knower. Kulhu Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Astaghfirullah. 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 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. The second part of the khutbah, free will. And the title that we are addressing today is No Compulsion in Religion, Free Will to Accept or Reject. So we're here, we call ourselves Muslim. We're here because this is our free will to come. If we don't have a free will to come, I'm not going looking for somebody to tell them, look, brother, you got to go to Juma. Oh, that's not my responsibility. That's your responsibility. You are obligated. It says your own self obligates you, right? Alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite nasty, is the best knower. Surah 6, ayat 107. If it had been Allah's will, they would not have taken false gods. But we made you not one to watch over their doings, nor are you set over to dispose of their affairs. Also, Surah 10, ayat 99. If it had been thy Lord's will, they would all have believed, all who are on earth. Will you then compel mankind against the will to believe? And once again, accept or reject free will. Surah 18:29. The truth is from your Lord. Let him who will believe, and let him who will reject. The truth is from your Lord. Let him who wills believe. Let him who reject. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not putting any pressure upon us. But he said there's going to be a band, like in the time of Prophet Muhammad. He said, let there arise out of you a small band of godly, God-fearing people. Right? Just a small band. That's all it takes. To be a model example for the benefit of all mankind. And this is language that we use, Imam Muwahhid Muhammad, our teacher. People use different language. But he said, remake the world. And in order to remake the world, you first of all have to remake your mind. Because Satan have destroyed our mind, give us false ideas, false concepts. And anytime you can give a whole people, the majority of the people in the world, a false god, a Caucasian god with blonde hair and blue eyes that people bow to all over the world, obviously we have a problem. That's a serious problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite naturally, is the best knower. So we thank Allah for blessing us to come together. You know, families coming together. Families should be supportive of one another. And like the young man, we was watching him on television yesterday. He was an entertainer, and he said that, man, he didn't even realize how much he was missing, right? He said he's always on the run. He's not even thinking about his family. And he says his little daughter asked him, he went in there to kiss her on that night. He was home. He went to kiss her, make sure she was all right. And she woke up, and she said, Daddy, are you leaving? He said, because that's what he normally does. He kiss her and leave. He said, but now he's home, right? He said he didn't even realize how much he was missed, right? And we don't, because we'd be running, we'd be chasing money, the dunya, so to speak. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to be more family conscious, more conscious of our fellow man, and submit our will to do God's will more and more and more. And the principles work. Me and my wife, we're here to bear witness. We're here to bear witness, brother, because we understand where we came from, and we understand the position where we're sitting at right now, right? Why? Because we continue to struggle, never give up, put our trust in God, and have faith in our family. So important, and Allah knows best. So the ending of Ramadan, I believe, is on Sunday, the 24th. I think that's the Eid. And the next day is Memorial Day, which is a holiday, right? So that's Eid goes for 3 days, and it runs right into Memorial Day, so people will be off. And how do we celebrate Eid during the crisis period? You know, we come, we give a khutbah, we have food and things of that nature, and we decided that we're going to have our football right here in the house. We got enough space. We got another room over here if it's raining. We got outside a full yard that we can go in or whatever the case. We could got a little deck in the back. We could space ourselves, make us some nice food, and have us a nice time. Eat, right? And so we don't stop just because there's conditions, right? We keep going. We do the best we can, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So that's what we intend to do, inshallah. So family members, they're not going to be working, so they can take a ride up here and we can just have a nice, joyous occasion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So Eid is the end of the Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr. Fitr means nature, right? So this is the Fitr, right? You know, we love each other. We express it by giving gifts, not extreme like Christmas, but giving gifts and appreciating one another, making special dishes, and have a good time celebrating the victory of the fast. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and Allah knows best. So this is the forming of a Muslim community here in America, and we thank Allah that we are on the foundation, at the foundation of the building of that community. And when our history is written, you know, they'll go back in history and they say, well, where did these Nashis come from? Or these Akbars? Or these whoever you are, right? Muslim names in history, documented. You say, hey, brother, look, we can trace our history all the way back to John and Anna Nashi, the first Nashis, brother, in the family, right? It might be 1,000 years from now. Or the Akbars, or the Shabazis, or whatever the name may be, right? History is being written right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And who is it being written by? African Americans. Who in the world ever thought African Americans would write anything that would be significant, right? But it's taking place right now, alhamdulillah. And Allah, quite nasty, is the best known. So we thank you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all over the world with health. And may Allah bless us with means to see ourselves through this crisis, and anything that we can do to help one another, we should do it. And Allah, we put our complete trust in Allah, and we model ourselves by the example of our dear Prophet Muhammad. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to be here today. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. Qad qamitu salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayla salah, hayla falah. Kakamatu salah, kakamatu salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Walad-Dallin. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha jaa'a nasrullahi wal fath. Wa ra'aytan nas yataqalluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir. Innahu kana tawwaba. Allahu Akbar. سمي الله لمن حمده الله اكبر الله اكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Sirata Al-Mustaqim. Sirata Al-Dina Namta Alayhim. Ghayril maqdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Allahu akbar. سمع الله لمن نداه الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله.
استغفر الله.